League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
From Drift Bar for a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 proudly present the Killer Bees.
Definitely a fan of the Killer Bees.
Now bringing you the fastest 3 hours in Houston sports radio, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing?
He's Blank. I'm Branham. Joe George is back. I can't believe it. I didn't think Joe George was coming back. The other day, he left at 2:42, up and left. Didn't show up to work yesterday. But he's back behind the glass somewhere. Maybe he showed up to work because he knew he wasn't going to see us today. Because we're at Drift Bar in the Heights, a great spot to spend your Friday afternoon. They opened up early for us. So if you're looking for a spot to come hang out this afternoon when you get off work, Drift Bar is the place to be. 97.5 beer bucket special, 5 domestic beers for $20 throughout the broadcast. If you can't make it out today, well, they have their Super Boil all weekend long. The 4th annual Super Boil, $7 per pound of crawfish. And, of course, the best spot in the Heights to watch the Super Bowl as well. A great spot to hang out today. Come say hello to us. We'll be here till 3. Woolhouse will be here until 7 o'clock. The Texans are starting to fill out their coaching staff, Blankers. They have hired a defensive coordinator. They have kept their strength and conditioning coordinator from a year ago, and they also keep their special teams coach, Frank Ross, who is well thought of around all of the NFL. It's somebody that really was like the only person that a lot of people wanted to be held over onto the staff. But the big news is the defensive coordinator. It is Matt Burke, and I'll be honest with you, Blankers, I think it's a little underwhelming for the Houston Texans.
I agree. I agree with your tweet, too, whether you sent it this morning or whenever you saw the news. I hope even more so than ever before that DeMeco calls the defensive plays now, because I don't know enough about Matt Burke. I don't know that he is an impactful defensive coordinator, and I assume that they've crossed paths and they know each other well. But, you know, for the fact that we are talking about such a important position and, on DeMeco's first ever coaching run, I would hope that DeMeco gets a guy that can follow in his footsteps and maybe has the same philosophical, thought process to football. But I would hope DeMeco calls the plays on defense.
Yeah, I want DeMeco calling plays. There was some idea, we didn't know who the DC was going to be. Some thought of like, okay, well, do you want DeMeco calling the defensive plays? Do you not want DeMeco calling the defensive plays? There's no doubt about it now. Matt Burke, as the defensive coordinator, I want DeMeco calling the plays. They've actually never spent a year on the staff together. The only connection that people were drawing the conclusion to was that Matt Burke was the game management coordinator or game management coach for the New York Jets in 2021 when he was there with Robert Saleh. Of course, Saleh and DeMeco Ryans know each other because they were on the San Francisco staff, but that's really the only connection. Now, maybe there's a J.J. Watt connection here because Matt Burke was the defensive line coach with Arizona this past year.
Right.
So he knows J.J. Watt there. He's only been a defensive coordinator for 2 years. Like, he has experience, which we can argue the experience versus talent. I'm not saying Matt Burke's not a talented coach, but what we know of him as a defensive coordinator, he spent 2 years as a DC in Miami before the Brian Flores coaching staff got there and pushed him out. The 2 years that he was there, total defense, they ranked 16th in 2017. They ranked 29th in 2018. Not saying Matt Burke can't coach up players, can't develop young players. Not even saying that Miami's team was all that talented, although they had some pretty decent talent on those Miami teams when he finished 16th and 29th in total defense. All I'm saying is that DeMeco Ryans needs to be calling plays, and I think the Matt Burke hiring as the defensive coordinator probably proves that he will be calling defensive plays.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think, look, the fact is we know it's a long, tedious process, and I think that it's the second most important position that we were looking at. Maybe in my book, third most important position, because I'm really under the belief that, as you know, being that I wanted an offensive-minded head coach first and foremost, and again, I completely support DeMeco, but if you're not going to go with an offensive-minded head coach, if I was going to kind of rank the importance of these coaches on this staff, it would obviously be offensive coordinator one, and it would be, you know, 2B and 2A right there next to one another might be defensive coordinator and quarterback's coach, because quarterback's coach should be your heir apparent if your offensive coordinator's good and gets another gig. So I'm looking at these hires as the most important. The other ones, look, you know, I think you hit it on the head. You got a really well-respected special teams coach. Don't screw that up, because in the past, we've seen the opposite. We've seen the Texans have bad special teams coaches, and they have just driven the entire fan base and all of us nuts. So when you have someone that's good at what they do, you can retain them, and there's nothing wrong with that, and there's no, like, oh, it's a holdover. Ooh, that could be, because Easterby's gone, and all those concerns about holdovers, I think, is much subdued. So I think those are the important coaching hires. This is an important one. This tells me in my mind that D'Amico's going to still call the defensive plays.
I think so too. Like, I'm not going to go back and change what I said about the defensive coordinator job, because the other day I said I'm not worried about it. Like, I'm quite frankly, I'm not, because we saw Matt Burke's name come up as a potential candidate. No one really thought that that was a sexy, buzzy name. Really, none of these defensive coordinators really had a lot of, like, pizzazz. You know what I'm saying? Like, they're all just kind of names that have been around the league for a while. There wasn't a Vance Joseph who was kind of like a pipe dream defensive coordinator. Like, Vic Fangio got tons of money to go to Miami. You probably knew you weren't going to go that route, because if you're getting that much money as a defensive coordinator, usually you're aligning yourself with a head coach who is an offensive mind, like McDaniel in Miami. Okay, it makes sense to bring in a Fangio to run the defense and pay him money that's about as high as you can make for a coordinator. So I didn't really care a whole lot about who D'Amico brought in as the DC. Are there better options than others? Yes, Matt Burke was a lesser option than the ones that I saw, but I'm not going to just sit here and bash the hire, because I didn't put a whole lot of value in the defensive coordinator position. That's D'Amico Ryan's side of the ball. When you hire D'Amico Ryan's to be your head coach, he's the one that's overseeing that side of the football. I think now he definitely needs to be calling plays. It is an underwhelming hire, but it doesn't really move the needle a whole lot with me, and I'm just eagerly awaiting to see who the offensive coordinator is going to be.
I think we'll wait through the big game. I think that they'll probably sort some things out while the Super Bowl week is wrapping up and the game is played. And then I think next week you're going to see a lot of different things happen across the league with the Texans, with other teams. You know that there are two teams that are still looking for a head coach. You would think to some degree that means that it may involve one or more of the coordinators involved in that game. So you'll see how that plays out. And then D'Amico is, of course, going to still, you know, put the final touches on his coaching staff. And like I said, I'm most curious about OC first. And then I really want to see what they do with the quarterback coach position, because I do really believe that's the heir apparent and the future offensive play caller for your Houston Texans.
Are you, hopefully it's Gerard Johnson. I like the idea of that. Or the Kubiak baby as well. Hopefully it's Slowick. Like, it seems like if it's not Slowick at this point, I'd be, again, underwhelmed and disappointed. Any of the other names, I'm not going to be too pleased with. Troy Walters, nah. And there's only been three that have interviewed: Kaylee, Walters, and Slowick. Kaylee already took another job with the Rams as the tight ends coach. Like, I don't understand what's taken so long, to be honest with you.
You know what, Jeremy? I was thinking about the same thing, and the only answer that I could come up with is there's probably some internal conversations and behind-the-scenes conversations with the Niners to try and figure out, you know, what's the right – I would think that D'Amico and Shanahan are on a good enough basis that they're having a conversation about, you know, guys he would mind, you know, that Kyle's going to be okay with him taking. And guys, where if Kyle has a pushback, that D'Amico might, you know, think a little bit before going out and trying to do something that would rub Kyle the wrong way, because of Kyle, he's got this job.
Yeah, but I mean, unless Shanahan's going to promote Slowick to offensive coordinator,
I don't think
that there's really another snag. Yeah, I think that is possible. But if that's not happening, then I think Slowick would go. In fact, I think Kyle Shanahan would let Slowick go if he told Shanahan, I want to call plays.
But that's where I'm going at with the conversation. I think the conversation is more or less, hey, are you considering moving up Slowick to OC? If so, if I want him to and he can call plays with us and he chooses us, are you going to be ticked off? Because even if he's ticked off, you may still do it. But because they coach together, because, like I said, Shanahan gave D'Amico the opportunity, you know, it's at least worthy of him to make a call and to at least talk to him about the situation.
The other name that is coming to the Texans that we found out about was Nick Kray, who is the bump box coach. We saw him going out of the locker room a couple years ago with San Francisco.
Yeah.
He's going to be the chief of staff
Green Bay. Yeah.
With the Houston Texans. And look, what does a chief of staff do? I think it's probably more director of football operations, probably the guy planning the schedule, planning the itinerary, probably helping out wherever he can help out. Sometimes it could be a guy that can help you in game management, clock management, that sort of thing. I think it's good that DeMeco finds a chief of staff in Nick Kray. I don't think Nick Kray is going to have a whole lot of bearing and value of the on this team in terms of, like, developing the players, coaching this team on Sunday. This is more a logistics kind of guy. He's the kind of guy that Jack Easterby was supposed to be.
This is trust and communication amongst the team. This is, like you said, the guy that schedules the, you know, where to find a decent apartment near the football stadium for the lower draft picks and some of the free agents you're bringing in for camp and such. And the guy that probably coordinates a lot of the extras around travel and gets the players what they need if they need to try and find a car. Things like that. But it's a trust position because you don't want someone on your staff or in the case of other general managers who would like to tell you who you are going to work with on the staff that is going to do these things. This is someone that DeMeco knows and trusts. And believe me when I tell you this, and the people I've talked to that know him well have said, the main thing he's focused on right now in taking this job is getting and figuring out who he can trust and the guys he can trust, hiring them for the staff as quick as possible.
Yeah, I want guys who are good coaches, though. You know what I mean? And it
Absolutely.
Doesn't necessarily need to be. I don't need my defensive coordinator, especially if DeMeco's calling plays, to be one who's going to out, you know, scheme the other offense or the chess match of calling plays versus another offense, especially if DeMeco's calling plays. What this team needs more than anything else, whenever you have a Derek Stingley, when you have a Christian Harris, when you have a Jalen Petrie, when you look at the offensive side of the ball, Damian Pierce, who won an NFL award yesterday. And because you have two first-round draft picks, you're going to have an early second, you have two first-round draft picks in 2024, you need the best coaches that can develop the talent. I think that's the most underrated thing in sports, is when the coaches that can develop young players. Everybody thinks DeMeco Ryans is capable of doing that, but you need a staff that is capable of doing that. That's how I'm going to grade Matt Burke in 5 years.
Sure.
That's how I'm going to look to see if he was a good defensive coordinator for the Texans more than anything else.
No doubt about it. You have to, especially with the worst roster in the NFL and with all the work that still has to be done around this football team just to make it respectable and better, you have to be able to develop talent. We talked about the fact that from a Rockets perspective, the coaching staff isn't doing their job, no matter how good of people they are, if this young talent isn't being developed to mature and learn the NBA game and get better at things that are their shortcomings right now, and we've seen that they're not doing that. That's not what you can afford to do with the Texans. You have to have, at every different position group, you have to have coaches capable of coaching up their players, of getting them ready to prepare, not just week to week, but year to year, so that they can be long-standing members of your team that are productive. And I think that's why it's so important to put together that a staff with that in mind.
713-780-ESPN, the HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. We're on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975. He's at Pac-Man Joel on Twitter. I'm at Jeremy Branham. Killer Bees broadcasting live from Drift Bar in the Heights. Get down here. They opened early for us. Swing on by. Say hello. Say hello to the Wheelhouse this evening from 3 to 7. Gary Kubiak was on the Willies yesterday and talked about some of the challenges of going from a coordinator in the NFL to a head coach. We'll discuss that when we return. It's Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
You're listening to a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow live from Drift Bar. This is the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Killer Bees live at Drift Bar in the Heights, 1207 West 20th. Great spot for your happy hour after a long work week. Swing on by, say hello. Great spot as well this weekend. The fourth annual Super Boil, $7 per pound of crawfish, and a great spot, of course, to watch the Super Bowl on Sunday as well. Happy hours throughout the week, and then some beer bucket specials coming up this weekend, too, to go along with that crawfish and the Super Bowl. All right, we were talking last segment, Blankers, about like what's taking the Texans so long with this offensive coordinator thing. They've interviewed three guys, Slowick, Troy Walters, Nick Haley, who already took the job with the Rams as the tight ends coach. Aaron Wilson, 2 minutes ago, now he wasn't always right with the DeMeco Ryans thing, but Dan Graziano of ESPN also reporting this, that former Cardinals coach Cliff Kingsbury is in Houston today speaking to the Texans about a job on DeMeco Ryans' coaching staff.
Was it a one-way ticket?
I think that the job is only – there's only one. Like,
yeah,
Cliff Kingsbury's not going to be an offensive analyst for the Houston Texans. No. He's not going to be the quarterback coach for the Houston Texans. So we can put two and two together. Cliff Kingsbury's in town right now interviewing with the Houston Texans, presumably to be the offensive coordinator for this football team.
Yeah, I hope it was a one-way ticket. I don't care if it was or not on his way to Thailand.
Does Thailand fly direct to Houston?
I certainly hope that it was a one. And even if the Texans have to pick up the tab for that return flight, albeit if it means that he's going to be the OC, you and I talked about this weeks ago. If Cliff Kingsbury is your offensive coordinator, get even more excited, Houston, and then you can really start trying to figure out who your quarterback is, but you got another experienced guy in the room that's going to tell you exactly what he's looking for a quarterback, from measurables and intangibles and all the other things. And he had a short quarterback in Kyler Murray, and he's dealt with, you know, all these different things. But the main thing is he is a very, very advanced and respected offensive mind in football, period. And that's what you need in that position, hiring a defensive head coach. That's why this is so exciting and another great move for the Texans if it happens. I don't want to jinx it. I certainly want to make sure that it happens before we go crazy overboard. But this would be a huge coup and a big, big pickup for the Houston Texans and for their offense and for whoever plays quarterback next year and for the foreseeable future.
713-780-ESPN, the HRP listener line, 713-780-3776. The Frankie's Friday Fire, by the way. You bring the heat. $50 to Frankie's Italian Kitchen is on us. We're going to pick up your tab. We're going to pick up your dinner. You can do it by calling, by texting, by twitching, by tweeting. This is a pipe dream because if you would have asked me, you know, whenever Cliff Kingsbury flew to Thailand, if he'd be coaching in the NFL coming up, I would have told you no, because I don't think that Cliff Kingsbury really had a whole lot of interest in coaching football. Like, he got fired. He had tons of money. He's the type of dude that likes to lay low, likes to hang out in secluded areas with his girlfriend. Like, okay, I don't think he's going to coach football anymore, or at least for a year. He's going to take a little bit of a hiatus. So this was a pipe dream from the very beginning. That's why I was kind of pot committed to Bobby Slowick. But you throw Cliff Kingsbury's name into the equation, to me it's a no-doubter. Like, there is no doubt in my mind that Cliff Kingsbury is one of the best offensive minds in the football game. If you could bring him in as an OC, perfect scenario.
No, it's an absolutely amazing scenario for the Texans. And like you said, a guy that you thought was completely out of reach for your franchise, he just got extended before he got let go. He doesn't need the money. He's going to get paid. You don't have to give him assistant head coach title because he doesn't want to take away from the money the Cardinals owe him. But most coaches, and we talked about this, hey, it'd be great if Pep Hamilton just wanted to be a quarterback's coach, because he might be the right fit for a young quarterback coming into this league to just work with him instead of worrying about play calling and all those things that we had concerns with. But this, most coaches don't like to take a quote-unquote demotion. But if you're getting paid and you had, you know, had the money on the table from the Cardinals, you know where it's going to go to your bank account no matter what. And this intrigues you, the idea of being able to be involved in getting the quarterback you want and then developing an offense around him and whoever else you bring in. I think it'd be fantastic. He's back in Texas. And again, from a national perspective and especially from a local perspective, this just continues to add positive fuel to the Texans' fire and get people excited.
You know what this means? It means Case Keenum's going to come home too. You got to bring Case Keenum home with them. They used to be together at the University.
But they could do worse, right? I mean, I know you're biased and your love for him is off the charts.
No, I want Case
as the
backup of this team.
But you know, we've heard from multiple sources, hey, you know, no matter what they do with a rookie quarterback, you got to have at least one veteran on the roster. You got to have a veteran that can be in the room. I've talked about being the big brother kind of guy too, as well, to mentor the young quarterback and also be available and accessible to be the guy if you need him to step in. And I think that for all those reasons and more, and because he's a good dude and he's a U of H kid, Case Keenum, if that's who you're going to add to your quarterback room, that's fantastic too.
Yeah, I mean, more from a veteran point of view, but they have the same understanding. They were together when Case was a player and Cliff was, I think at the time, an offensive analyst under Dana, who was calling plays back then. 713-780-ESPN, HRP listener line, 713-780-3776. This will be a home run. Cliff Kingsbury, do you want him as the offensive coordinator of the Houston Texans? I think that Cliff has to be an offensive coordinator again before head coach.
Agreed.
Like you were talking about, like, coaches don't like taking the demotion, things like that. I don't believe that Cliff has any choice. If Cliff wants to be a head coach again in the NFL, he's going to have to go be an offensive coordinator somewhere. And he has said, and let's take him for his word for a minute, that he has zero interest coaching the college game. It never stops. He would do any other job before being a college football coach, because that is a taxing job. That is very difficult, especially in these days. Whenever you have NIL, you have players in the transfer portal, all of that. It's an awful, awful job that you have to spend a lot of hours working. So if we take Cliff for his word that he doesn't want to go back to the college game, let's assume that he still wants to coach, and if he's meeting with the Texans today, that makes sense that he still wants to coach. He's going to have to be an offensive coordinator in the NFL and have success as an offensive coordinator in the NFL before he ever sniffs a head coaching job again.
Right, no question about it, because I think that the one thing that is under question, I don't think people question Cliff's ability to have a firm grasp on modern-day offenses in football and know exactly what to do with an offense. I think they have a ton of questions about him and his ability to lead men and manage an entire football team like he, you know, when you get the head coaching job of the Arizona Cardinals. In order to get it again, you know, we talked about all along, hey, just solidify the fact I know my offense. But if you know your offense and you have any kind of success at being an offensive coordinator, people are going to come calling again. It's going to open the doors. Because a lot of people said the minute that he got out of Arizona, he's not going to be a head coach again. And maybe because he doesn't want to be in the college game. And look, the NIL thing is getting a lot of coaches out of college sports, but whether it be football or basketball, that's an extra added headache that they don't want to deal with. And now, even if they weren't pro athletics in the past, they're going to look for a route where they don't have to deal with the headache of NIL. So maybe that had something to do with it. But from Cliff specifically, it has to be a situation where he reproves himself on multiple fronts. But the one that's the easiest to reprove is just go back to being an offensive coordinator and move the football and score points. And people are going to go, yep, he still knows everything about that. And that's important.
Cliff or Slowick?
Cliff.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Without a doubt.
I don't have a whole lot of hesitation there either. Like, I really don't. I know some people are going to point to this past year in Arizona. They played like five quarterbacks. And the Kyler Murray thing, like, I think you need to have the conversation when it comes to Kyler Murray, when it comes to the Arizona Cardinals, when it comes to Cliff Kingsbury. I don't know if I put a whole lot of the fault of that demise of the Cardinals, because let's remember last year they were undefeated, what, through seven games? They were 7-0. All of a sudden they were looking like a dark horse Super Bowl contender, and then they limped down the stretch. They snuck into the playoffs because they had such a hot start to the first half of the
Kyler
year.
Just and then they got down.
And they had a terrible, and they were one and done. They were one and done. And then this year,
Dallas
never really got off the ground. I can't remember who they played. But this year they could never get off the ground, and they were bad. How much do you assign that to Cliff Kingsbury? How much do you assign that to Kyler Murray? Because I think if you look at kind of the demise from the Cardinals being at that 7-0 peak to them struggling down the stretch 2 years ago, and then the early struggles that they had this year, the contract extension, all of that, the stuff we heard coming out was that Kyler just wasn't putting in the work. Like, Kyler didn't want to watch film. He wanted to play Call of Duty. Cal McNair would have been the perfect owner for him. So I don't know if I put a whole lot of the fault of Arizona's demise on Cliff Kingsbury, but even if you do, head coach, offensive coordinator are totally different.
Here's where I'd put the fault, Jeremy. I don't put the fault on his ability to do things offensively because of the fact that you had a guy that was very, very I'm looking for the right word for it, but not standoffish, but the way that we talked about the way Kyler Murray just was going to do things his own way and he was going to fight the system, I think that was his biggest obstacle. I think where people are going to be critical of Cliff Kingsbury and put it on him is his ability as the head coach of this football team to be able to put his foot down and say, Kyler, we're going to stop the shenanigans. We're going to stop the whole, you know, you do whatever you want to do whenever you do it, and if anybody argues with that, you're going to pout and you're going to get on your phone and call your girl and play video games and do all these things. As a head coach, that's where the questions come from. As the leader of men, people are going to say, why didn't you reel him in? He's a young kid. You've got a locker room full of veterans. They don't want to deal with his crap. And you hear and see now the way the Cardinals that were around him, some are more open and vocal about it than others, but they're all pretty clear in the fact that the message has been sent. Kyler was a big problem with that team and the reason why it had so many shortcomings, no pun intended, but I think that that's where Cliff could be criticized as opposed to offensively, you know, with the weapons he had, they were innovative, they were open, they did a lot of different things, they moved the football. It's just, you know, it's as the head coach, it's a bigger picture.
713-780-ESPN, the HRP listener line, 713-780-3776. Killer Bees broadcasting live from Drift Bar in the Heights. Trey just showed up, so where was everybody else? Get down here to Drift. Hang out with us until 3. The Wheelhouse will be here until 7 o'clock. Is Cliff Kingsbury as the Texans OC, if he's willing to take the job, is it as much a slam dunk as the Killer Bees are letting on? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
This is a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow, live from Drift Bar. This is the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Aaron Wilson, Dan Graziano, multiple league insiders reporting that Cliff Kingsbury is in Houston today interviewing for a job on the Houston Texans coaching staff. I didn't say what coaching job, but I think we can all kind of guess that it's the offensive coordinator job. There's no doubt about it. So Cliff Kingsbury to Houston is all of a sudden a possibility. Where it was once kind of a pipe dream, now it could be potentially in play. Killer Bees are in favor of it. There has been some criticism to how strongly we feel about this. I think it's a slam dunk. Blakers thinks it's a slam dunk. Do you? It's a Frankie's Friday Fire. $50 to Frankie's Italian Kitchen on the line. 713-780-ESPN. The HRP listener line, 713-780-3776. Some negativity on the Twitch, which shocks me. Ocho says Cliff Kingsbury is a poor play caller, even worse at clock management. I disagree with the play caller point. I think that Cliff's been an incredible play caller everywhere that he's been, whenever he's had to call plays. The clock management thing, look, I haven't watched Arizona Cardinal football every 17 games since he's been the head coach of the Arizona Cardinals to know a ton about Cliff Kingsbury's clock management in the NFL. But as an offensive coordinator, you're not worried about the clock management as being a coordinator. That falls on the head coach. That falls on DeMeco Ryans.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Look, and I think that the other thing that I brought up to you the other day when we were talking about this that I really like about this, if it does come to fruition and he is the OC, he's got the head coaching experience and he can help DeMeco through the fire, right? He can help DeMeco with the things that he didn't know, that's maybe some of the things he had heard about or that he had seen in his experiences as a DC. But it's the unknown. That's the one that Cliff can really step in with too, because he can learn from his own mistakes. He can teach DeMeco the ropes and say, this is where I went wrong. This is the kind of things you can really do to benefit yourself in this job. And he can be the same way we say whoever you bring in at quarterback, it'd be good to have that big brother in the quarterback room and everything like that. Hey, as a head coach, nothing's better than a guy that's not trying to take your job, that's right there to let you know the pitfalls of what to expect and what to get through.
See, a lot of people, they brought that up, that he needs to hire and find an offensive coordinator with NFL head coaching experience. And quite frankly, I didn't like that because I would always push back and say, well, who? Like, which offensive play caller, which offensive failure as a head coach do you want as the OC? And no one could give you an answer. Cliff Kingsbury is that answer.
Yep.
Because Cliff Kingsbury is still the innovative offensive mind, still a younger offensive mind that does have the head coaching experience. It was the head coaching experience, right? No.
No one's looking at him like some of the other coordinators on both sides of the ball and going, oh, the game's starting to pass him by now. Even 2 years out of a coordinator job, he doesn't have the same grasp he had on it when he was in his heyday. Yeah. I think Cliff still has his fastball. I think he's a perfect fit for a lot of reasons.
Like, which offensive mind did you want that was a former head coach as an OC, like Adam Gase? Like,
no,
Matt Nagy.
Because you never know which direction he's looking.
So, like, that's always what I push back as. Like, oh, you need an offensive coordinator that has head coaching experience. There really wasn't a name that existed on the market that I would have felt good about as the OC. All of a sudden, Cliff Kingsbury changes that conversation. 713-780-3776, HRP listener line. Also on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975. Here's another criticism of Cliff. It comes from Largobot. Cliff Kingsbury coached Mahomes into a 13-9 record at Texas Tech, and A&M Cliff had the best offensive line in college football and Mike Evans to throw to. College game, NFL game, to me it's not an apples comparison. I don't think it's easy to win on the plains, by the way, either in Texas Tech. And one of the criticisms for Cliff as a college coach was that he didn't really recruit the defensive side of the ball. That he didn't put a whole lot of effort on the defensive side of the ball. As a head coach, that's worrisome, even if that's a head coach in the NFL. But whenever he is leading the offense and you have a leader above him in DeMeco Ryans that's overseeing the whole process, he's not going to be any sort of influence onto what's happening on the other side of the ball.
No, you're absolutely right. And look, now you've got a guy whose specialty is offense and a guy whose specialty is defense, and that's exactly what you want. You got guys that know their part of the game better than anybody in today's current NFL. And are at the peak of their game. Cliff's still in that category, offensive play calling and knowing the offense. Obviously, DeMeco coming off the number one defense in the NFL, those are the two guys on either side of the ball that you can look at that right away and go, I'm good with that. I mean, I'm not going to do much better than that unless I get, you know, some legendary coaches that are still that still have their fastball. Rex Ryan ain't coming in the building anytime soon, and I believe that, you know, even as good as Rex has been for his career, I think the defensive game has probably changed enough that he's probably not the same guy he once was. And I like it. They're younger. And like I said, that big mentoring thing, too, means a lot to me because I think it would mean a lot to DeMeco. If DeMeco and Cliff have a good relationship, he can trust him, and Cliff can help him through the pitfalls and all the different things that he went through, then I think that this is just a massive win for the Texans and one that I didn't think was realistic when we first started talking about it.
13-19 at Texas Tech. I misspoke, said 13-9, but he was 13-19 at Texas Tech. Here's one thing you have to consider as well, in my opinion, whenever you look at Cliff Kingsbury as a potential offensive coordinator for the Houston Texans. Couple of ways to look at this, a couple of different angles, we will take it. The first one is, how long would he be here? Because that's a concern we had with an offensive coordinator under a defensive-minded head coach, was that, you know, they're going to be really good, 2 years, they're out of here, or they're really bad, 2 years, they're fired. And you look around the landscape of the NFL, who's winning right now in the NFL? Offensive-minded head coach. Who's won the last 10 Super Bowls? For the most part, offensive-minded head coach, with the exception being Bill Belichick. I think Cliff would have a chance to stay here for a few years. I think that his recovery as an NFL head coach, part of what he needs to repair as an NFL head coach, I think it's going to take multiple years.
Well, and he's got the financial means to not have to worry about it either. It can take some time because he's being paid by the Cardinals too. So it's not about the money. And now, because he's already had one opportunity, this next one could be his last one. And so he could be really selective in taking his next gig if and when it comes by having a job like this in the meantime. And I think the other thing, Jeremy, as it relates to, because I said, because of the potential for your OC to get a head coaching job in the next year or two if they do well, that's how important the quarterback coach is. That's why now you tap into another tree, right? Because now you've got Kingsbury and guys he knows, and because he knows offense so well, he knows guys that could be the ultimate quarterback coach that might be the heir apparent to his job as well if he does take another gig, because of the fact that you can tap into who DeMeco knows, and if that goes all the way to the Shanahan tree and all the people that they've connected. Now Cliff's got plenty of connections too. There's other opportunities, and now Cliff has a voice in the room along with DeMeco to say, on my side of the football, let's talk about this. I'd love to have this guy as OC. I mean, as quarterback's coach. I'm looking at these type guys as my, you know, receivers coach or all. Those are the kind of things now where you got extra guys to pull from with contacts, and you get the right guys on that side of the football because you know DeMeco's going to get his guys on defense.
Yeah, I thought it was weird when they were interviewing Jerod Johnson the other day for a position on the offensive staff without having an offensive coordinator yet. And Jerod had some connections to DeMeco in San Francisco. He was the Bill Walsh Diversity Coaching Fellowship in 2017, has worked his way up in the NFL coaching ranks. This past year was an assistant quarterbacks coach at Minnesota. He's a hotshot, you know, guy in the NFL. He's going to be a head coach at some point. He's still got a long way to go. He's still very young, former Texas A&M quarterback and Humble Wildcat. Maybe it makes sense from a Cliff Kingsbury perspective. Now, they weren't at A&M together, but Jerod graduated at Texas A&M in 2011. Cliff Kingsbury was there in 2012. Like, he was there that very next year. He was very, you know, aware of what was going
close
on around. And before Cliff went to A&M, he was at Houston. So, like, you know what's going on and who the quarterback is at A&M. You probably have a connection. You probably met him. You've probably talked to him. I wonder if that Jerod Johnson interview had more to do with Cliff Kingsbury than it did Bobby Slowick.
Well, I mean, again, you're not going to leave any stone unturned until you figure out exactly which direction and who you really want to go and who's right for the job. So all options are open. And if there are connections to kind of enhance any opportunity, and we've seen, I firsthand dealt with Daryl on this in so many different ways. If he knew there was 6 degrees of separation from a Kevin Bacon perspective to get to getting a player to come here or a coach to come here or someone that he felt like was really, really key to success on the basketball side, he's going to do it. I mean, his whole thing with me, even at my wedding, was who's on, can I see the guest list? Because if he knew that there were guys on the guest list that he thought could play a viable role in the Rockets, and in one particular, Ray Allen, he wanted to know if Ray was coming or not and if Ray had responded. They wanted Ray so bad in free agency that he said, if Ray's coming, I will not miss your wedding no matter what. If not, I have some trips I have scheduled. I'm like, well, that's nice, Daryl. I mean, I can tell you where your heart's at and how really, you know, how close it really means to you to be at my wedding. But that's Daryl's thinking at all times.
He did that to my wedding, too.
And I think that's also – but I think it's also not a bad way of thinking, right? If there's an inside track to help you get the guy that you want, it's like saying, hey, from an offensive, it's like if it was Slowick before that when we were talking about this. You want to call plays or do you not want to call plays? That could be the difference in getting a guy. Well, if you know something that helps make the decision go your way with anybody, Cliff or otherwise, it behooves you to explore it.
Look, Cliff, we crushed Cliff because of the record he had at Tech whenever he had Pat Mahomes, but he also developed Pat Mahomes into being the number 10 pick of the NFL draft. Like, we criticized Cliff for failing at Arizona, even though he had a really good start to the year last year. It fell apart down the stretch, never got off the ground this year. But I know Kyler Murray was the number one overall pick, so it was like already a really good talent. And I think Kyler Murray is one of the best athletes on the world, if I'm being completely honest with you. How many dudes have been drafted first round that high in baseball and in football? Not many. So I do think Kyler Murray is a special talent. Does he have it upstairs? That has been debatable. But
Or in his heart, right? Because it's dedication to the craft.
Absolutely. I think those are two good things. Like, he has every skill in the world. He's one of the best athletes on the world. Is his heart there? Is his head there? That's the criticism that a lot of people give Kyler Murray. J.J. Watt had the opportunity to defend Kyler Murray the other day on the Dan Patrick Show and did everything he could to skirt around the question. Then when he was on with Barstool the other day, they didn't even ask him about D'Amico Ryans, and he made sure to bring up how great D'Amico Ryans was. Really telling to me. But Cliff, look, and again, Kyler has great talent. Cliff also coached Kyler up well enough, whatever deficiencies he has, to sign one of the biggest contracts for a quarterback in the NFL. So did he win as many games at Arizona as you would have liked? No, but he got Kyler a second contract. Did he win as many games at Texas Tech as a head coach as you would have liked with a Pat Mahomes? No, but he developed number 10 pick in the NFL draft. And then Pat Mahomes
Arguably was one of the greatest of all time.
713-780-ESPN. I want to take a look at the style of offenses here too, because Cliff and Bobby Slowick are incredibly different. And I think it also impacts what the Texans would do at the quarterback spot if they go that route at number 2 on April 27th in the NFL draft. 713-780-3776. Killer Bees broadcasting live from Drift Bar in the Heights on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Live from Drift Bar for a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow, this is the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5, broadcasting live from Drift Bar in the Heights. 97.5 Beer Bucket Special, five domestic beers for $20 during the broadcast. We'll be here until 3. Wheelhouse will be here until 7. They also have happy hour specials until 8. $4 Texas Draft, $5 Deep Eddie Vodka. Also, the Super Bowl coming up tomorrow and Sunday, 4th annual Super Bowl, $7 per pound of crawfish, kicking off the crawfish season. This is the spot to get your crawfish and then watch the big game. Watch the Super Bowl here at Drift on Sunday. Massive outdoor patio, the two biggest screens in the Heights, 25-inch screen on the south patio, dog-friendly as well, high tides, good vibes. And get on down here this weekend, have some crawfish. Enjoy the big game. Enjoy the big game. 713-780-3776. It's also a Frankie's Friday Fire. You bring the heat, call, text, tweet, Twitch. $50 to Frankie's Italian Kitchen is coming your way. How do you feel about Cliff Kingsbury potentially as the offensive coordinator for the Houston Texans? Seemed like a pipe dream. Now he's in town today. Hide the women. He's in town today talking to D'Amico Ryans about a position on the staff. Here's one thing to consider here, Blankers, because we've talked about this like at the very beginning of this coaching process, maybe even after D'Amico took the job and what he needs as an offensive coordinator. What Bobby Slowick's going to do offensively and what Cliff Kingsbury going to do offensively are totally different. Bobby Slowick's going to be the West Coast, Kyle Shanahan, a lot of stuff under center, you know, run the football, obviously. They're both going to try to run the football, but in different styles. A lot of play action, West Coast offense for Bobby Slowick. Cliff Kingsbury's more air raid, out of the leech tree, coached with Holgorsen as well. He's gonna throw the football a lot. It's a little bit run and shoot. If you want to go back to the early 90s Houston Oilers with Warren Moon a little bit. So it's two different things to consider. Because in the Slowick offense, you're looking probably for a bigger quarterback who's going to be under center a lot with a pretty big arm. I don't think that offense really fits Bryce Young all that well, to be completely honest with you. You look at an Arizona type of offense from last year, a Cliff Kingsbury type of offense, where most of it operates out of the shotgun, multiple receivers, 3 and 4 wide. And you're still going to run the football, but you're doing it out of the guns, and you're doing it whenever you have light numbers in the box from a defensive point of view. I think Cliff Kingsbury as the OC makes a lot more sense for the Texans if they're targeting Bryce Young than Bobby Slowick does.
No question about it. And I think, Jeremy, it goes deeper than that. I think it goes to every skill position on the offensive side of the football, that there is a different skill set as it pertains to either one of those two offenses. And Cliff's going to like the smaller guys that can you know, sprint all over the field and be used in motion to do so many different things. Shanahan likes those bigger physical receivers that can do so much. And you can start with, you know, Debo, but you can look at Ayuk and some of the other guys that they have and go, hey, look, he likes a certain style both in body type and the way they play the game with his skill positions and multiple running backs.
See, I think he looks for speed more than, like, physical size.
Now, those guys are stout,
but they're not that tall.
I forget 15's name, too, for the Niners, but yeah, what's his name? Jennings. Yes, Jennings. So you got Jennings, you got Debo, you got Ayuk, and those are big physical.
They're more strong than tall.
Yeah.
They're like 6 foot, 6'1".
But I'm just saying big in terms of physicality and the fact that they like the yards after the catch and they pound you and they block you and they do all kinds of things. Where I just, my perception is Cliff's, maybe not all of them, but Cliff likes to have those burners and those guys all over the place from the slot to guys that can really pop the top off the defense.
It's hard. I mean, I think he likes a combination of that, but he also had DeAndre Hopkins, who's not known to be a blazer. So, like,
but that's the routes he was running a lot. He was going a lot of deep outs and deep long routes. And the one everybody talks about is the Hail Mary. But a lot of the balls that Kyler Murray connected with D-Hop on were just throw it up and let him go get it that way down the field.
713-780-ESPN, the HRP listener line, 713-780-3776. I think a Cliff Kingsbury offense is way more conducive to Bryce Young, if that's everybody's popular pick, than a Bobby Slowick offense is. And I think, like, you know, Will Levis, I'm a huge supporter of Will Levis. I think Levis makes more sense in a Slowick offense than he does in a Cliff Kingsbury offense. So that could be a factor here. But give me Cliff. I'll take Cliff and Bryce over Slowick and Levis. It might be a shock for some of you to hear. Josh in Beaumont says, if you hire Kingsbury, trading up to number one seems more likely. I don't necessarily disagree with that. I think that if you sign Cliff, you're going to try whatever you can do to get Bryce Young. I would hope it means that it's not more likely, because I really don't want that to happen. I don't want the Texans to trade up to one. I think you can in fact, I'll tell you my theory here in a little bit, but I don't want the Texans to trade up to number one, even if with Cliff you're kind of pot committed to Bryce.
I just don't like how, you know, the assets you got to give up with a team that's this depleted from a roster perspective, and now you're talking about, when you see some of the publicized potential, you know, trades that would have to be given up to move up to get the Bears pick. If you're the Texans, those picks are too valuable to you at other position groups. Those picks mean so much to you to getting off the schneid and being the worst roster in football and getting this thing really going in the right direction as a full unit. And I think that's why I hate the fact that because they screwed up the embrace the suck in the very last week of the regular season, that it could cost them, you know, a substantial amount of draft capital just to get where they could have been all along, just by doing what they had done so well for the first, you know, 17 weeks of the season.
713-780-ESPN. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Big C is in the Hive with the Killer Bees. What's going on, Big C?
Hey, what's going on, gentlemen? I think Cliff Kingsbury would be an excellent pick for the Texans, considering his style of offense and the way that he groomed his quarterback. Yeah, people forget that he groomed at least two Heisman Trophy winners in Kyler Murray and, way back in the day, Baker Mayfield. So I think his offense will look very well with his run and shoot, his pass to open up the run. And I think he'll be a great fit for the Texans. And you got to thank J.J. Watt, because I feel that J.J. He's having conversations and giving more his point of view from the defensive coordinator now and on Cliff Kingsbury, and tell him how he coaches and what his style is. So I think it'll be a great fit for the Texans.
Appreciate it, Clarence. Look, you know what? And the more Clarence mentioned that, it goes back to, remember when I said, when we were talking about when Cal came out in the press conference, was talking about tapping into resources maybe we haven't tapped into before. And I said, could it be J.J.? And at that time, J.J. had already said he was going to retire. We knew he wasn't going to be a coach. But it's when you hire an Arizona guy off the Arizona coaching staff to be your D.C., you would think that they had a conversation with J.J.
Sure.
He coached his position.
definitely a conversation.
Yeah.
Like, I think it's more of a recommendation than he's being an advisor. Like, you're going to call J.J. but, hey, tell me about Matt Burke.
No,
like, it's going to be that type of thing. Not like, hey, J.J., who do you think we should hire as the defensive coordinator? Like, you're going to vet the guy first and then see what J.J. thinks on top of that. Now, it is interesting. Like, I hadn't really thought about that from Big C point of view, and it's probably a failure on my part. Matt Burke was the defensive line coach last year with Arizona, and then, you know, we hear right at the beginning of our show, that first segment break, that all of a sudden Cliff Kingsbury's in town, an Arizona guy, which, you know, doesn't have a whole lot of relation with DeMeco. They never coached before, but I like what this this tweet had to say, or this text had to say, 713-780-3776, Josh in Beaumont. DeMeco has been coaching directly against Kingsbury. DeMeco would know if he was a bad play caller. That's a great
point.
They play twice a year. They're in the same division. DeMeco's been a defensive coordinator 2 years against Cliff. He was a defensive assistant under Robert Saleh going up against Cliff. So, like, a lot of times whenever you go against another team, you go against another coach, if you're playing that chess match, you know what you're going to get. You know that what respect level you have for that guy. Blankers, you hoop. Like, if you're going one-on-one with a guy and a dude, like, has really good success against you, not saying he beat you, but he has good success, you're going to have a certain level of respect.
No doubt.
You're going to know his game because you're sitting there matching wits over and over and over again. DeMeco Ryans would be as good as anybody else to define the prowess of what Cliff Kingsbury is as an offensive play caller.
No, that's great. And Josh in Beaumont, gold star that one as a potential Frankie Friday fire because that's spot on. And look, again, J.J. might not be the end-all be-all, but you got to believe before J.J. was out on social media and singing the praises of DeMeco Ryans that the Texans had conversations with him on that too. And so I don't think that he's going to be, you know, all the things that people were hoping for from a coach to a consultant. But if this is the kind of guy, and even if this is the only guy that they are tapping into, in the past they paid six figures to tap into Dan Reeves and then Tony Dungy's and other guys on committees with Corn Ferry just to try and get people to get insight and intel. If you go into J.J. Watt and you know the kind of person and the player that J.J. Watt is and has been, and you get his insights on guys you're considering to bring into the organization, you're doing what you're supposed to do in your due diligence the right way, and I like it a lot.
713-780-ESPN. Cliff Kingsbury's in town interviewing with DeMeco Ryans today for a position on the offensive staff. I think we can put two and two together. 5742 says the reports are it's a job on the staff. Doesn't specifically say OC. That's a little weird. I mean, why not say OC? I don't think it's weird. I'm not really, like, having any conspiracies and theories here, but why not say OC?
Because it's the other part of the equation. You could be the assistant head coach slash OC, and that's why I think they're hesitant to put anything out there other than that they're talking to him, and then they'll work all those details out because they got to look contractually at what his contract states from Arizona.
A lot of people want to get in on this. Cliff Kingsbury, potentially as the offensive coordinator for the Houston Texans. You feel good about that. The OC under DeMeco Ryans. 713-780-ESPN, the HRP listener line, 713-780-3776. Killer Bees broadcasting live from Drift Bar and Nights.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.